This is The Guardian.
Today, it's supposed to protect vulnerable people from harm. So what's so controversial about Scotland's new hate crime law?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Scotland having this hate crime legislation, protecting people, giving them that protection from hatred, while at the same time protecting people in terms of the freedom of expression, for me ensures that we've got a piece of legislation that will be enacted and implemented in a way that is absolutely balanced and make sure it absolutely protects people in their freedom of expression.
Hamza Yousaf, the First Minister of Scotland, has spent the past few days defending his new law on hate crime. The Act is designed to protect people from abuse, whether that's physical, verbal, or online, because of their age, their disability, their sexual orientation, or for being transgender. It consolidates existing hate crime legislation, and it gives a few extra protections to people who are among the most persecuted in our society. But it's proving contentious. Some people say that it will silence what should be healthy debate, that people will be too scared of getting arrested to explore how they feel, to challenge and to be challenged.
Very good one.
Scotland's new hate crime laws were expected to meet a backlash, and here it was on day one. Protesters gathered outside Holyrood, voicing concern with a bill they say stifles free speech and can be exploited by...
And perhaps most pressingly, the police in Scotland have said they don't have the time, the money, or the training to deal with the potential flood of reports that this law could create. How will the Scottish Government reassure people on all sides that this law is going to work? From The Guardian, I'm Hannah Moore. Today in Focus, the problems with Scotland's attempt to fight hatred. Libby Brooks, you're Scotland correspondent for The Guardian, and you've been reporting on Scotland's new hate crime law, which has just come into force this week. What are the basics of it?
So this new Hate Crime Act, which is largely about consolidating the existing law and bringing it up to date in line with the rest of the UK, essentially has two parts to it. The first part is that the statutory aggravation, which is the hate crime aggravation that is attached to another crime, is going to be extended to include age as a protected characteristic. And this is happening for the first time in Scotland. And the second part of the Act takes an existing offence of stirring up racial hatred, and that's going to be extended to cover stirring up hatred against groups defined by other protected characteristics, including age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, transgender identity for the first time, and variations in sex characteristics. And that offence will be strengthened too.
We've always had laws about stirring up hatred against people because of their racial background. Now the law has been expanded to include lots of other groups who are protected because of age, disability, sexuality, transgender, and so on, have now got this charge that can be brought if people are threatening or abusive towards this person because they're part of that group and they're attempting to stir up hatred against that particular group.
Can you give me an example of what would count as a crime under this Act?
Firstly, if someone punches me in the face and calls me an old bag whilst they're doing that, that's a hate crime. Secondly, if somebody posts online a call for all old bags to be shot, then that's a crime. Offline, if somebody's putting leaflets through the door or putting posters around a neighbourhood, holding a rally that is saying all old bags should be rounded up and shot, that is a hate crime.
Why does the Scottish Government say that these new protections are needed?
Well, this all stems from a kind of root and branch review of hate crime legislation that was undertaken in 2016 by a retired judge called Lord Bracadale. And that was commissioned by the Scottish Government because they were hearing from different community groups that at present the current laws were just not fit for purpose. And that's why we've seen this extension of the laws that we had to these new groups of individuals.
And how many people are being charged with hate crimes each year in Scotland, and what are the most common types of offences?
We've actually seen a very sort of small decrease, a 2% decrease in hate crimes year 22 to 23 and 21 to 22. There were just under 6,000 across the board. Racial hate crime remains, you know, above and beyond the most commonly reported hate crime. And after that, it's sexual orientation as the aggravating factor.
Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, has been critical of this new law.
Well, look, we're not going to do anything like that here in England. We should not be criminalising people saying common sense things about biological sex. Clearly, that isn't right. We have a proud tradition of free speech, and I think it just shows, whether it's the SNP or the Labour, these are the wrong set of priorities for the country.
And it also seems like people have been quite confused about how the new law is actually going to work. What have the government and the police been doing to try and explain it to people?
The Scottish Government has insisted all the way through this that there is going to be a very high threshold for prosecution, particularly around this stirring up offence. And indeed, it keeps pointing to the fact that there is this triple lock on freedom of expression contained in the Act. There's an explicit clause about it. There's this reasonableness defence. And it's also compatible with the European Convention on Human Rights. And even on Monday, when the Act came into force, amidst this barrage of criticism from everybody from Elon Musk to Rishi Sunak to J.K. Rowling, we've had global coverage of it.
Scotland's First Minister has defended new hate crime laws after J.K. Rowling spoke out against the legislation once again and challenged the police to arrest her. The Harry Potter author says the new laws are wide.
Tell me about how this law's come into being, because as I understand it, it's taken years for it to be pushed through by the Scottish National Party.
So the law itself was passed in 2021, and it had a very rocky passage through Holyrood at the time, with MSPs voting to strengthen the freedom of speech provisions considerably, particularly because earlier versions of the bill had provoked a massive outcry from both religious groups and from sort of arts and cultural groups. In the bill, it also removed one of the sort of key defences that had been used in previous legislation, known as the at-home or dwelling defence, which was used previously as just a signal that this isn't about private conversations. And there was a lot of concern about that being taken out too.
So just to explain that, people were worried that it would mean that if they had a private conversation, say they held a party and they made a comment that somebody at that party interpreted as bigoted and then reported it as a hate crime, that they could be prosecuted.
Exactly. And the counter to that that the Scottish Government would give is, as we've discussed before, the extremely high threshold and the freedom of speech sort of triple lock that they say is sort of baked into the bill. So you're right, it has taken a long time from March 2021 to now to come into force. And that is, in my experience, an unusually long lead time. But campaigners say it's because the Scottish Government and police have been working behind the scenes with communities with those protected characteristics, that a lot of police training has been going on, although the Scottish Police Federation say not so much. that the Scottish Government's been developing a strategy and delivery plan for the Act. And so that is, I understand, one of the reasons why it has taken these 3 years to get where we are. But as you know, there are still a lot of questions about how it's going to be enforced.
Yes. And one of the big questions that people are asking is how this is going to curtail people's right to freedom of speech, free expression. Can you just explain that?
Well, I think what there are really significant concerns that however many reassurances there are about freedom of speech on the face of the Act, there are concerns about how they are going to work in practice. And people are particularly concerned that this stirring up offence is drafted too vaguely, that the reasonable person test is unclear, that it might need to end up being tested in the appeal courts. And there are particular concerns that this new offence is going to be weaponised by certain activist groups to prevent other people expressing their legitimate opinions. And explicitly, that means transgender activists reporting gender critical feminists. And there have been concerns raised about that before the Act even came into force. Some people who disagree with the gender critical stance of the Harry Potter author and activist J.K. Rowling were already threatening to lodge complaints about her with Police Scotland on April the 1st. You've had the SNP MP Joanna Cherry, who again has been a really vehement critic of this legislation, saying that she had no doubt that it would be weaponised by trans activists to try and silence women who don't share their beliefs.
And J.K. Rowling, you know, who has voiced controversial opinions about trans people, has said that the law is wide open to abuse. And she's said basically to the police, bring it on. If you want to arrest me, I'll keep saying what I say. Can you just kind of talk me through that debate? What's happening there? Is she at risk of being arrested for the type of things that she says online?
So I think given J.K. Rowling's consistent opposition to this bit of legislation, it was inevitable that she was going to challenge it when it came into force on Monday. And on that day, she posted a very lengthy thread on X saying that the legislation was wide open to abuse. And she listed sex offenders who described themselves as transgender alongside well-known trans women activists and described them as men, every last one of them. And she wrote on Twitter, "It's impossible to accurately describe or tackle the reality of violence or sexual violence committed against women and girls or address the current assault on women and girls' rights unless we're allowed to call a man a man. Freedom of speech and belief are at an end in Scotland if the accurate description of biological sex is deemed criminal." And as you say, she essentially challenged Police Scotland to arrest her.
Police in Scotland have confirmed they are not treating tweets by the Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling as a criminal act. It relates to her posts on the social media site X, which came as Scotland introduced a new hate crime law on Monday.
We actually heard from Police Scotland on Tuesday afternoon. They said that they had received some complaints about her social media posts, but they had concluded that they were not criminal and there was going to be no further action.
She's the most prominent gender-critical feminist in the UK. What does her taking this strong stance against the law show us about how that group might be feeling towards it?
Beneath this, what gender-critical women have talked to me about is a concern about a chilling effect, you know, a sort of wider and much harder to quantify effect of the legislation if they feel that their comments could lead to some sort of involvement with the police. And I have had gender critical women speaking to me about this fear of the knock at the door. The flip side of that is that those who support the bill say consistently that it is not designed to criminalise misgendering, for example, that it is not even designed to criminalise hate itself. Vic Valentine of Scottish Trans has said to me very explicitly, you know, it is not against the law now to be transphobic in Scotland.
It doesn't protect women against misogyny. Why is that? Why isn't misogyny part of this law?
This was another reason why the bill had such a rocky passage in 2021. There was a lot of anger at the time that it excluded hatred of women. Even before the bill was passed, an independent working group was set up. It was led by Helena Kennedy, and their job was to consider whether adding sex to the list of other protected characteristics was going to be the best way to tackle misogynist abuse, or whether there should be a standalone offence created. And actually, at that time, the majority of women's groups in Scotland wanted that standalone offence. And Kennedy's group later recommended that the Scottish Government should introduce a misogyny act, that it would be able to crack down on a much sort of wider variety of offences, street harassment, organised online hate. That was included in Humza Yousaf's programme for government last September, but it's yet to be published.
Whenever a law like this that's dealing with such contentious and emotional issues is brought in, there is going to be some debate, some confusion, some very heated feelings around it. But it feels like this has sparked a particular amount of confusion and outrage. And Humza Yousaf, the First Minister, has had to defend the way this law has been brought in this week. What's he been saying?
He has robustly defended it. It was Yousaf who actually brought the bill before Parliament when he was Justice Secretary. He has said that he is absolutely certain that it is well balanced, that it is going to protect both freedom of speech and individuals from this rising tide of global hate that he was talking about on Monday. Other ministers have not been pushing themselves out of the way to get to the microphone to talk about this act, and often passing on difficult questions to the police as being, you know, about operational matters. And as much as Humza Yousaf has been out defending this act, on the same day as it came into force on Monday, some racist graffiti appeared near his home in Broughty Ferry, which included a racial slur and indeed has been recorded as a hate crime under the new act. And responding to that, Yousaf said, "I do my best to shield my children from the racism and Islamophobia I face on a regular basis. That becomes increasingly difficult when racist graffiti targeting me appears near our family home." And he said that it was a reminder of why Scotland has to take a zero tolerance approach to hate.
So have Police Scotland had any complaints so far?
They certainly have. We've heard within the first 48 hours of the act coming into force, they've actually received at least 3,000 complaints. And there have been reports that actually some of those complaints apparently reference a speech made by Humza Yousaf in the Scottish Parliament a few years ago now, which some people considered to be anti-white. It was when he was referencing the fact that there weren't enough people of colour in positions of power in Scotland. So that gives you a sense of the range of individuals who are complaining and the range of things that they are complaining about. And obviously that speaks to the huge concerns that there have been about officers getting swamped by complaints coming from this new act.
Are they going to have enough staff and time to investigate all these reports?
This is a problem that the enforcement of this act has really merged into an ongoing debate about police resources. So David Kennedy of the Scottish Police Federation has reiterated his warning this week that the bill is going to cause havoc with trust in Police Scotland and that it's going to put pressure on a force that is already hugely overstretched.
Our biggest complaint right from the beginning of this is there's been no extra money given to the police service to provide extra training. It's come off their own budgets.
The Association of Scottish Police Superintendents has also raised concerns. They warn that there's enough anger and hateful bile online to occupy every police officer in Scotland. The issue here is that we have this pledge that all hate crime complaints are going to be investigated. But this comes at a point where Police Scotland are also rolling out a national scheme whereby not every reported crime of any kind is going to be investigated. It's right. a scheme called a proportionate response to crime. But really what this is about, and certainly what the Scottish Police Federation says this is about, is underlining the fact that the force is struggling to deal with its current workload. At the same time, as there is this sort of desire, I think, from the force to be seen to be taking hate crime seriously. They're very aware in the past that, you know, particularly BAME and LGBTQ plus communities have felt that this hasn't been happening. And so they want to show that they're taking hate crime seriously and also focusing more on perpetrators. But as I say, how that meshes with this sort of increasing diminution of police resources is going to be really difficult. There's also been a lot of questions raised around training. I said to you earlier that one of the reasons that the Act had taken so long to come into force is because there has been a lot of training put in place. But actually, the Scottish Police Federation has challenged this and actually said that their officers haven't been receiving sufficient guidance on how to mediate this very complex territory, saying that they've only had an inadequate two-hour online module.
2 hours to understand all these different formulations of hate crimes and to understand what they could mean for different minority groups.
Exactly. And nor have they been allocated any extra money to do that. So you can understand why police organisations are just feeling hugely frustrated at the moment.
What is public trust like in Police Scotland at the moment?
Last summer, the outgoing Chief Constable Ian Livingston, one of his final statements was to recognise that Police Scotland was institutionally racist and misogynist. And the force has also seen a number of employment tribunals recently brought by women who've experienced bullying and sexist behaviour from fellow officers. So I think there is a real sort of concern amongst the public about the attitudes of their sort of officers on the beat and how they might apply to, as you say, this very complex territory.
I've seen complaints about this new law that people can report alleged hate crimes on behalf of somebody else anonymously. Can you just tell me about that?
So it is possible to report without giving your name, either as someone who's experienced a hate crime or as a bystander through this network of third-party reporting centres. We should make the point, though, that these centres, they're often sort of community places, libraries, community centres, that sort of thing. These centres are a legacy of the McPherson Inquiry, actually, and they were designed to allow people to report incidents in a sort of more indirect way, let off steam about things that perhaps don't sort of reach a criminal threshold, access community support in other ways too. And so these centres are not new.
So the McPherson report came out in 1999. These centres have actually been around for more than two decades.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming up, is this law going to make marginalised groups feel safer?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
In Norway, a woman's boyfriend forgets who she is overnight In Detroit, a man is arrested, but he was never at the crime scene. In Spain, disturbing pictures of young girls have appeared, and no one knows who's behind them. Something strange is happening. A collision between people and artificial intelligence. Discover more in The Guardian's new series, Black Box. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. All episodes out now.
Libby, in the days since this law was introduced and all the criticism that's gone around it, do you think people are reaching more of an understanding and a kind of acquiescence with what this will actually mean?
Despite all of this hyper-focus on comments largely made online, the majority of crimes that are being addressed by this new act, it's about significant acts of hate perpetrated against you because of who you are. Now, that's not to diminish all of the concerns that we have been through about the stirring up offences. And it is very hard to quantify at the moment, you know, what the impact may be, what the chilling effect will be, how ordinary cops on the beat are going to implement it. You know, there's so many unknowables. So much of this is, with the best will in the world, speculative. But I remember back when the bill was being consulted on, speaking to other community groups, you know, representing older people, representing the disabled, representing BAME communities. And the examples they were bringing to the government during that consultation, which spurred them to tighten up the legislation, were things like a guy in a wheelchair being verbally abused in the street, somebody being jostled leaving a Jewish event, a physical attack on a gay couple for holding hands. And so I think we have to ask ourselves whether there is a risk of trivialising the intent of the legislation by focusing solely on social media threads. And I also know, you know, having spoken to these groups over the last few weeks, again, that privately they're really worried that their communities are going to be put off reporting hate crimes because of this focus on this one aspect of the bill.
So, Libby, where do you see this progressing from now? I mean, you're going to be reporting on this law as it's rolled out and as people start to report things. What are you going to be looking out for?
I think I want to go back to the communities that this law is supposed to be protecting in 6 months' time, a year, to find out if they do feel safer, if they do feel they are being sort of better listened to by the police, by the authorities. And I don't doubt that there will be vexatious complaints in that period. It seems sort of almost inevitable now that is the dynamic that has been set up. The Scottish Police Federation has already suggested that they think some of this law will end up in the appeal courts and have to be tested that way. But in terms of how it's actually impacting these communities day to day, we'll have to wait for, as I say, that sort of hyper focus about social media posting to diminish a little bit and see how it beds in.
Libby, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Anna.
That was Libby Brooks, The Guardian's Scotland correspondent. She'll keep reporting on the new Hate Crime Act and talking to the people affected by it for theguardian.com. That's it from us. I'm Hannah Moore. This episode was produced by Lucy Hoff and sound designed by Solomon King. The executive producer was Elizabeth Cassin. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.